Happy Father's Day. Happy New Year.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I get my holidays confused all the time.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the,
back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you so much, Julie. Welcome to the program, Mama. Father's Day, new, whatever. It's another holiday. It's the stupidest holiday of the year. Because it has no connotation whatsoever. It's not necessary. It's not a necessary holiday. We're not commemorating anybody. Nobody did anything. It's not like, we invaded Germany or whatever. And the first person to circle the earth. I mean, it's nothing like that. It's a nothing stupid holiday. It's not religious. You don't necessarily have to go to church. I mean, some of you go to church anyway, no matter what. But there's nothing to this holiday. It's stupid. It's just stupid. It's humanly created. I mean, we chart our time on Earth, our years, by the number of revolutions that the sun revolves around the earth, revolves around Uranus. I have no idea what the hell's going on. I didn't Google this, quite obviously, but it's just a stupid holiday. It is. It makes no sense. I guess the idea of the holiday is, first of all, the logo of the holiday is stupid. New Year's, when you see a logo for New Year's, it's a champagne bottle with two champagne glasses and some streamers behind it. That's the logo for New Year's. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the idea of New Year's Eve is you drink alcohol. That's quite a holiday. Quite a concept, man. Not that I'm against that, but I'm just saying. It's just a very, very, very odd picture for a holiday. I guess New Year's Eve is the idea is that you say goodbye to the year that you're in, and you usher in, like a guy with a flashlight in the movie theater, you usher in the new year. So goodbye to the old year, hello to the new year. So stupid. It's just so stupid. It's just adorably stupid. It's like a bad relationship. Sorry, this didn't work out. We had it was a bad year, and I can no longer tolerate you. And I'm going to move away from you, and I'm going to go into a new year, hopefully find a new relationship. So I'm saying goodbye to the old, and you're the old one. And I'm going to hopefully find a new. And it's like a bad relationship. And it always is. Nobody ever likes the year that they just had. Unless you got a new job that you like. Or you're in love with somebody. Or you just got married. All those things are fleetingly, stupidly happy. right now. So maybe 2016 was a good year for you, but everybody else that year sucked. So see, in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, to be very, very deep about this, and I can get deep, believe me, the idea here is that we all have to have hope. Without hope, everybody's walking around depressed. That's why everybody's walking around depressed, because there's no hope. So we need hope. So we go. So we make this New Year's thing in order to fictitionally think that, okay, now, okay, everything starts now. Okay, now everything that's good is going to start. Okay, now. Okay, and now it starts, and that's what we do. We get into that with the New Year's resolutions. All right, I'm a fat pig. I'm grossly overweight. I'm obscene, and that's okay. Because starting January 1st, or maybe January 2nd, I want to eat a lot on January 1st. That's New Year's. Okay, starting January 2nd, I'm going to eat differently. I'm going to lose weight, and that's my I'm going to be a better person. I mean, hey, listen to me. Listen to me. I've had that resolution for like 52 years or something, and I never became a better person ever. So I dropped that one a long time ago. I've lost a little weight before, but by the end of the year, it's right back anyway. So it's just all very stupidly psychologically assholish. But I do have a question for you, this is one of the strangest nights of the year, this New Year's Eve thing, because for some reason we get dressed up in these strange little costumes, and we call it dressing up.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
This is the one night of the year that you go out of your way to look somewhat decent. Now, again, I've told you that the difference between men and women has nothing to do with your organs. Sure, it does. But it really doesn't. Whether you have a uterus or a penis is not important right now. It usually isn't ever. Again, as I said yesterday, the difference between men and women is that women have like at least 20 pairs of shoes. Men only have two. There's another difference. On New Year's Eve, a woman will dress up in the best stuff she can find. She's going to knock you out with her wardrobe. It's going to have glitter and sparkle. It's going to fit perfectly. Because a lot of women wear black on New Year's Eve because it's a nighttime event and everybody looks good in black. Everybody. No matter, even people who don't look good in black on New Year's Eve. And it's got to have some zits and some sparkle, and you got to wear the jewelry and the accoutrements and the kapoompi mumps, and your hair has to be perfect, and nails got to be done. Oh my God, nails got to be done. Nails got to be done. The woman looks impeccable, every hair in place, even that hair coming out of that little mole on her chin, that's perfectly coiffed. A guy wears his best sweatshirt.
Look, I got the sweat. Here's a Patriots sweatshirt here. I never wore it. It's my dress sweatshirt.
You're not wearing that out tonight. You're not wearing that stupid sweatshirt. Put on some regular clothes for a change.
That's the conversation you'll hear everywhere tonight. Or last night, whenever you're listening to this, or whatever. it's also kind of sad to say goodbye to things, even though 2016 sucked for most people. It's kind of sad in a way. It's like breaking up, and that's hard to do, said Neil Sedaka. 2016, you did me wrong. I had so many hopes for you. I remember it was the end of 2015, and I was saying goodbye to 15. I had so many hopes for 16. I thought 16 was gonna be just the best ever. things were going to change and be rosy and lovely and definitive and everything's going to go right. And then it didn't. Then you decided it was going to be the year of politics that consumed us all to the point of driving us all absolutely crazy nuts. Both of you candidates were disgraces, especially the one with the orange skin. Whatever happened to him? Yeah, 2016. Nothing got better. Nothing changed. Gas prices went down, but that's about it. Everything was still the same. Everything was tense. It wasn't easy. Nothing was easy. No, 2016, I had hopes for you like I had never had hopes before, but you let me down. It's just not going to work out. December 31st, that's it for you, man. It's over. I'm moving on. I got my eyes on 2017. Yeah, I'm putting my money on that, baby. But you know what, in the back of my mind, 2015 didn't work out. And 2014, 13, 12, 11, I'm thinking back, none of you guys really did the trick. I had so much hope for you. But you let me down. You dropped me like a sack of potatoes. Too bad that song isn't longer. I had to restart it. Yeah, through history, you've let me down year after year, day after day. Great song by Badfinger, by the way. 2017, I gotta tell you, I can't look forward to you either right now. Not because your history of going into New Year's has been really bad. It's that this particular year, I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing a lot more disdain, division, lack of direction. I'm seeing a lot of like tense, like, oh my God, what's going to happen next kind of stuff. I'm not looking at 2017 too well right now. So where do I stand? What do I do? Well, you fall in line. You do what you're supposed to do. Say goodbye to the old and ring in the new. I'll do what I have to do. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I'll raise a glass at midnight of some type of alcoholic beverage, get in my car, and hopefully make it home somehow. Because that's what you're supposed to do. And then on New Year's Day, I'll wake up from a drunken stupor, look around me, try to get out of bed a couple of dozen times, get on my feet, and I'll say to myself, you know, this 2017 thing kind of feels exactly like the 2016 did. Only I have a headache and a hangover. Happy New Year. That hurt.
You're listening to Ron Van Dam on Metro South Podcasting. Oi, he's such a mensch. I mean, a nice mensch, don't get me wrong, but still, really, a mensch.
Interestingly enough, New Year's is maybe the only holiday that is celebrated by everyone worldwide. Christmas is pretty big, but then there are Muslims and Jews and things like that. So it's not everybody. Thanksgiving? No. That's kind of just here. I mean, maybe in some other places just as a memorial, but otherwise, no, kind of just here. Flag Day? I don't even know when that is. July 4th? That's not worldwide. Certainly not. I mean, what the hell do they care about our independence? Yeah, Memorial Day? No, that's here. It's Easter? Again, Christian. I'm one of you Christian soldiers. But New Year's Day, man. It's all across the world. Do you watch CNN? I try not to. Every hour, there's another part of the world, time zone-wise, that is setting off fireworks and yelling Happy New Year. It happens in every country, in every civilized area. I think even people that are starving somewhere in Africa or something, I think they even say Happy New Year. They raise a glass of water or something. I don't know. I'm being insensitive, aren't I? It's done around the world. And yet, who cares? It's just the stupidest holiday ever is the one that's done around the world. Uniformly, the stupidest one. Not that the other ones aren't stupid necessarily, but this is the stupidest one. So here's what we do. We get dressed up in our best clothes. We're supposed to do that because you're going to go out in public. Then if you're not going to eat at home, then you're going to go out and eat to make it a little festive, something to do. And you're going to go to a restaurant where the prices have been elevated by at least 5 times. Everything on the menu is like triple the price, easily. Why? Because it's New Year's Eve and we can do it. You don't want to eat here? Go fuck yourself. We're going to fill the restaurant up anyway. Don't need you. You're going to pay these prices like an expensive EpiPen, or you're not going to eat here. I don't care. It's the one night of the year restaurants don't give a shit whether you show up or not. They're going to fill up their dining room. You sit in this restaurant, you pay like far too much, and you're crowded in with hundreds of other people who have the same idea as you do. There's no place to park. It's freaking cold outside. When you get a table, you're elbow to elbow with some schmuck from some place, and he smells like a garbage scow. And so does she. She smells like a perfumed whore. And you eat your dinner, and then the bill comes, and you're not happy with that. You're sad. But it's 2016 still, so you're chalking that off to, well, this is part of the bad year. And then you decide to go to some place to celebrate, some type of a bar or something, where they've got like a guy with a guitar, a bass, and a piccolo, and they're standing in the corner, and no one can hear them because everybody's talking so loud. But the idea is that you're with people to celebrate the ushering in of the new year. And what better place to usher in the new year, such an important worldwide event, than in Bobby Jones' House of Pork Ribs with a little trio stuck in the corner. And you're wearing your sparkly clothes and stuff, and people are looking at you like, what are you doing? Why are you dressed like this? They know it's New Year's Eve, but it's still part of that 2016 crap, so it's okay. And then midnight comes, and you magically think that as soon as it becomes 2017, you somehow like turn into a pumpkin or vice versa, maybe a princess. And everything's good. And okay, 2017 started. Everything's going to be perfect this year. And you're drunk. And you walk outside and you get arrested by the cops. And you spend the night in jail. And you say, oh, okay. This is how I'm starting my new year. Yeah, it is. Because you're stupid. Personally, I can't do the New Year's toast. Because I don't believe in what I'm toasting. It's just stupid, but I figure, all right, it's a sip of alcohol. I'll give it a shot. And this champagne thing, man, if I talk to 10 people, and that's pretty much about the quantity of what I do tend to talk to. If I talk to 10 people, 9 out of 10 will say to me in confidence, champagne gives them a headache. Not a whole bottle, not even a whole glass, a couple of sips, and you got a headache. What is it about champagne? And it's the one alcoholic beverage that we've chosen to ring in the new year. And it's the one alcoholic beverage that will give you a splitting headache and a hangover in the morning. And then there's the sex. You feel like if you don't have sex, then it's not New Year's. What a great way to start off the year. And in your mind, you're going to have sex. It's the sex night. It's a special night of sex. Everybody's dressed up, smelling better than they usually do. Most of you took a shower, had a nice meal, a couple of drinks. You're feeling a little horny, a little frisky. Now, if you're with a significant other, a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, you'll find that you don't have the sex. That's the plan, but the plan never follows through to that point. Because by the time you hit midnight and you had your little kiss and your little half a glass of champagne, you kind of just want to go to bed. It's like, okay, this didn't work out too well. And that's it. We'll have sex some other time. Now, if you're not with a significant other and you're going by yourself to a bar or something to try to meet somebody else who's single that night, you also have that sex fantasy, but you don't know who it's going to be with necessarily. And you kind of figure that it doesn't really matter. But maybe in a fantasy world, because 2017 is a fantasy world, by the way, you kind of figure, I'm going to meet somebody. It's going to be a magical night. I'm looking good. I'm in my best clothes. I'm smelling good. I'm looking good. I'm in a party atmosphere. People are pretty close to drunk, to the point where they don't really have great selections going on, you know? It's more of like, oh, there's a human being with an organ. I'll have sex with that. And it doesn't matter to you. And you get close to midnight and you figure, all right, someone's going to come over and kiss me. Some stranger's going to come over and kiss me. And we're just going to clear off the top of the bar and have wild, passionate sex right on the counter. That's the dream. But you know, it never happens. And all of a sudden, that night of celebration becomes kind of a lonely night. What a great way to start the new year. I'm alone. Or the person that you're with, you give them a passionate kiss at midnight. Your lips part and you say to yourself, I wish I was single and I could have just had a stranger on the top of the bar clearing off the counter. But it doesn't happen for anybody. Nobody gets lucky on New Year's Eve. Nobody. Sure, there might be a few, but numbers-wise, that amounts to pretty much nobody. So, ladies and gentlemen, New Year's Eve is nothing but a psychological letdown. It's the start of a new year, and you drive yourself into the New Year's resolutions. You're going to be healthier. That includes eating well, working out, getting more exercise, becoming a better you, accomplishing your goals, being better, having more friends, being a nicer person, achieving all of your goals, being more organized, being more aggressive in your lifestyle, enjoying life more, being happy, making the proper choices. The list goes on and on and on and on. And by the third week of January, you realized, I got fooled again. Just like that song by The Who. See me, feel me, touch me. Whatever those lyrics are, I don't know. It's just a letdown. But we're all in the same boat. We all travel the same waters. Doesn't make any difference. See me, feel me, touch me. Touch me, feel me, see me.
See me.
Touch me, feel me.
Feel me.
Touch me.
Touch me.
See me. Sorry. Heal me, see me.
See me.
See me, touch me, feel me.
Feel me.
Feel me, heal me, touch me.
Touch me.
See me.
Heal me.
I'm sorry, heal me. Feel me, see me.
See me.
Feel me.
Feel me.
Touch me.
Touch me.
Heal me.
Feel me,
see me, feel me to me.
See me.
See me, feel me.
Feel,
heal, see me. Touch me, heal me.
Touch me.
Heal me.
Heal me.
Oh, listening to you, I get exhausted.
Listening to you, I get the music. Gazing at you, I get the heat, following you. I climb the mountain, I get excitement at your feet.
The three sweetest words in podcasting? Ron Van Dam. Wow, gave myself a little erection saying that one. And I forgot to turn off the microphone.
My guest on today's show is Alan Fox. He's written a book called People Tools about meeting the right people, having the right relationship. What could be more fitting than that? And you wrote People Tools, and I understand that you've been successfully in a relationship for quite a period of time.
That's correct. Yes, I've been married for about 35 years.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty good. Now, you don't sound old enough to be married for that amount of time. That's how I get a free book, by the way. I compliment people. did you know when you saw her for the first time that this was going to be it, or do relationships develop?
Well, I think pretty much the first time I saw her out of the corner of my eye, which it was working, and I was a customer. And said, whoa, I don't know if she's married or single or anything, but I really, really liked her.
Hmm. So was it her personality or just the way about her, or was it a physical attraction?
I was thinking of her personality.
Okay, interesting. All right. So what you've done is, because you've been married a long time, and I think you're the only person on the earth married that long at this point, so... People Tools comes out of it. And I know that people are struggling either to find relationships, or if they're in one, to have it make sense to them as to why it's still there. Because there's a lot of arguing when two people are on top of each other all the time. So you kind of break it on down for us, I understand.
Yes, absolutely. People Tools has 54 separate tools, which are really just techniques of getting along better with other people.
Yeah.
Notably including your spouse.
Yeah, well, I need it for everybody, to be honest with you. I have somewhat of a disliking for most people, not a hatred, but a disliking in the sense that I can't connect with people. So if I can't connect with them, then, you know, why like that? I don't know if that's a good thing or not. You have a term called nonversation, which intrigues me. What is that?
Yeah, nonversation is one of the really good people tools, and that is, you know, very often... we get defensive, and our spouse says something that, you know, hey, pick up your clothes from the floor more often, and things like that. And we want to argue back, you know, you drop more clothes on the floor than I do, et cetera. So to get around that, so that you really feel heard. Huh. My wife and I have a nonversation, meaning it's a monologue. One of us will talk, and
yes,
that's it. The other person doesn't say anything.
Really?
Enough to apologize or explain, you just have to receive the message.
Interesting. But that only works if the two people respect that deal, right?
Yes.
Because I know that some people really get upset when, like, why aren't you arguing with me? You're not paying attention to me. Say something, say something. And they get angry and didn't say anything.
Yeah, sometimes, unfortunately, the project is to get angry and to vent rather than to get solve the problem. And I'm more into solving problems.
Yeah. Let me ask you personally there, Alan. Do you and your spouse do everything together, or is there a space?
Oh, no, no, no. Absolutely space.
Yeah, right. I get that. I think that two people are on top of each other all the time, something's going to happen.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, especially, you know, when somebody retires. You're in each other's hair all the time. We do our separate activities. We're together every night, and that works just fine.
It sounds smart. I read an article that people that live in separate bedrooms actually have a healthier sex relationship and they get along better, which is contrary to what our society put together previously.
I think, you know, everyone can do that for themselves. Yeah. I prefer to sleep with someone. I prefer to cuddle when I go to sleep.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it just feels good. But other people may feel differently. So I think, you know, you that's why I have 54 tools. You know, pick and choose the one you want.
I guess you don't snore.
I'm sorry?
I guess you don't snore.
You know something? I do snore.
Oh, my God.
And my wife is the only person I've ever met who doesn't mind. It's
wow.
That's kind of nice.
And that will be the only person you ever meet that doesn't mind, by the way.
Yes.
All right. What is the 80% solution? That sounds interesting as well.
Well, this is a good one, and I think that's especially appropriate for Valentine's. And People Tools, the 80% solution is, if a person meets 80% of my ideal, they don't have to be perfect. But if they go 80%, that's fine, whether it's in my personal life, in my business life, if they're at 80% or more, I'm not looking to replace them. If they're 60 to 79%, I might be looking. If under 60%, I shouldn't be with them in the first place. So 80% is really fine.
Yeah, it is. Some people search for perfection. It kind of doesn't exist unless you're like dating yourself, and then even, I don't know if I personally like myself that much enough to be with me all the time. So
or if you want to be with them, I mean, it's you have to watch your behavior with everybody else, and sometimes it's fun just not to and just kick back and do what you want to do.
Is it a good idea to apologize for something you didn't do in your mind?
Yes. You know, there are a number of kinds of apologizing. You don't have to apologize so that I did it.
Yeah.
You can apologize for hurting the other person's feelings. You can apologize that they're upset. So just saying I'm sorry, in a general way, just expressing that you really care and understand, I think is the important thing. You don't have to say, you know, it was me who dropped the dishes and broke them necessarily.
Uh-huh. Okay. I assume you did a lot of dating before you hooked up with one person.
Yes.
And was that a, how can I put it? What are the tendencies of that? In other words, is that like a long-winded game, or is that something to be enjoyed? I mean, what should be the attitude with something like that?
Well, first dates can be exciting, and it can be a disaster, or anything in between. They're full of promise. Anything can happen, but sometimes it's something not good. So I dated people, and my project, you know, some people have a date and say, oh, I wonder if I can marry this person.
Yeah.
I say, no. Just have a good time. If you're going to dinner, have a good time. If you're going to a concert or a show, have a good time. Make that your focus for the evening. Just get to know the person. Don't expect it to be sexual.
Right.
Just have a good time on the first date.
Okay. So don't take it so seriously, like every person you meet is a conquest.
Yeah.
I got you. Well, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say tip of the iceberg in New England. That's kind of a painful thing. But the book's fascinating, and it really does kind of, people do relate to it. So how can we get more information about this?
Well, my website is People Tools Book. That's three words, peopletoolsbook.com.
Uh-huh.
And I do a blog every week, so people can get free advice on that. And my book, People Tools, I did another one, People Tools for Business, and in September I'm coming out with People Tools for Love and Relationships. So
cool.
I'm hard at work on this.
Beautiful. He's Alan C. Fox. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. That was interesting, to an extent. I do wish you all the very best of the new year, as stupid as that sounds to me. By the way, the one thing that I cannot tolerate at this time of year is when somebody says to you on December 31st, I'll see you next year, and or talk to you next year, and that, of course, means like you won't talk to them for a year's period of time, but it really means, no, like tomorrow is next year. And both people at that point are supposed to laugh. Now, nobody finds that humorous anymore because now it's just totally annoying. And anybody who says that to you, you have to immediately think that there's something wrong with them, that they never figured out that somebody else already said that 75 billion zillion times already. But somehow they think that if they say it, nobody's heard it before. And it's the most amazingly funny little wordplay thing ever devised. You have to kind of question their intelligence at that point. You've got to just look at them and stare at them and think, what's wrong with you? Sometimes just little things like that say so much. All right. You know that, you know, I think you obviously tell that I remain skeptical, but that's how I do what I do. And you do what you do. You might think I'm crazy, but, well, I guess I am. Come to the end of another year. I wish you all the best. But no matter what, no matter how cynical, no matter how ridiculous, no matter how crazy everything may be, bottom line is, I do wish everybody peace, including myself. That's peace throughout the world. Peace within yourself. And a peaceful existence of happiness. And I mean that. And I thank you for listening. And I look forward to speaking to you sometime next year. Oh, Ron.